Welcome to the Next Brave Thing podcast. My name is Ella Hooper, and I believe that breakthrough is on the other side of bravery. This podcast features brave stories, emotional health, and creativity to inspire you to take your next brave step. So today on the podcast, I have a very special guest to help me talk about one of Dr. Brené Brown's guideposts in the Wholehearted Living, and that's guidepost number 10 on cultivating laughter, song, and dance, and letting go of being cool and always in control with the fabulous, most beautiful artist, life consultant, wife, mother, and grandmother, Krista Perotti. Thanks for joining me today.
Oh, thank you. I feel a lot of joy being here and being with you.
Yeah, it's so exciting to have you on today because we actually haven't met in person.
Not yet.
One day. I was a part of my audience probably rolls their eyes because I talk about this course all the time. Mm. I was part of the course Reclaiming You. And as part of the course, I got assigned a consultant and I got your video of like your introduction video. And I was like so much warmth through the camera. And I messaged Rachel Hughes, who's one of the teachers of the course and my consultant. I was like, did you pick me to be with Krista? Oh. Because this feels very divine. I feel very known. Uh-huh. So Krista was my life consultant as I did the course. So she is the one that graded all of my glimmer homework. Oh, yeah. And yeah, you got to celebrate me along the journey. And you were such a great guide and support. And our sessions were all so impactful in that time of transition. So then I follow you on Instagram and I was like, you exude joy and laughter and dance. And I was like, you really embody this guidepost. So I wanted to have someone to come in and talk about that. But let's to kick it off, like I'd love for our audience to hear about a little bit about you, but what life stage you're in now.
Okay. This life stage, I think I like to sort of name it just like the middle stage, maybe also known as like act two or reinvention, but it's kind of a wonderful stage so far, being an empty nester. It's that sandwich stage, I think, like my parents, I still have my parents and my kids are all adult and grown and out of the house. And so it's just this really beautiful season of like, I wonder what's next. Like, what do I want to do? Who do I want to be? What if the best years are actually ahead and there's more and I get to go deeper? So it's the middle stage, the messy middle, the yummy middle. I'm in the middle.
Oh, I love that. And I love that you've kind of reframed. A lot of people go through some grief around empty nesting and all of that, and and so you use the word reinvention. What does that mean to you?
Let's see. I think it's just this idea of not feeling stuck, and we can really rewrite parts of our stories. And if there are things like I haven't really tried yet, like it's actually not too late, you know, like I can take the dance class. I can sign up for new things. I can learn new things. And so it just feels like a beautiful invitation to like, come on in, like, you know, you can try new things.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
And so the guidepost we're exploring today is, learning how to cultivate laughter, song, and dance. And I think that it's a guidepost like I would more connect with joy. And you are someone that really oozes joy. So how have you practically cultivated laughter, song, and dance or joy, play in your life?
The practical ways. Yeah. I think first of all, it's been probably a little bit of a slow build. And I think a little bit of the backstory would be really like, oh, little Krista, like, grew up as an only child out in the country. So I had to really learn to become imaginative and like all my little pet rocks and stuffed animals and creating all of these little, you know, things to do. So that was really, you know, part of my beginning of probably becoming imaginative and creative. Yeah. And so, and I think also little Krista probably did have like a lot of fear and just a lot of feelings of like, ooh, like I can fix things in my family, or I can, you know, but just like some fear of like things feeling high stakes and wanting to really do the right thing. And so I just feel like, as you're like, you know, what are the practical things? I just felt like, oh, like it does feel important to say, like, it took a lot for me to learn to like raise my hand and like try things. Like, it's been something I've really fought for and tried to be really brave in doing. Yeah. And I'm just so, so thankful. And it, but it has been a little bit of like, hey, a little bit at a time, right?
It's so striking to hear a little bit about your childhood growing up as an only child. And like, that's so relatable to a lot of women who feel like they have to do everything right and perfectly and be a good girl. And don't be too loud or don't be too out there.
Yeah.
And because I wouldn't even think that because I'm about you, because I'm like, oh, you just ooze joy and connection. And she's probably from a big family where they cultivated a lot of joy. So, they, you know, it's natural. But it sounds like it's been a muscle for you.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. It really has like but just kind of releasing that pressure valve of just being like, hey, I do have choices and things like I already said, but not being so high stake, like chicken or beef. Like there's just, I gotta know, you know, and just, but being just more gentle with myself and just following nudges of like, yeah, that does sound good to try that, you know? Yeah. And so, but it's been something I've really kind of fought for and like grown in for sure.
And I love that you are starting us off with connecting with the inner child, because it's something like play is very childlike.
Yeah.
And, you know, joy is very childlike. So it makes sense that you would have to, show some compassion and love to the little Krista. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Wow. Yes. That's so powerful. So do you feel like what kind of like, I'm thinking of like joy is so unique to a person. And so for you, what sparks joy for you? If you could say like what lights you up right now in your life?
Oh, let's see. A few things that light me up right now in my life. I know because part of this was the dance thing. And so I have had so much fun taking a class called Dance Fit.
Wow.
And when I leave the class, like the smile is so big. And I mean, I'm sure people have a different, like CrossFit, I'm sure can bring the smile, but like this is so different. Like I love the rowdy music and the freedom and the moving and just like the joy. So kind of like getting in there and like, all right, the choreography is a little tough to learn, but I can try. But having a lot of fun with the Dance Fit has been really, really special for me.
Wow.
And I love it.
Yes. Were you a dancer growing up?
No. In fact, I even tried out for cheerleading in junior high and I didn't get it. I could still probably totally do the routine because I wanted it so bad, but I was shy and I was scared and I just did not do the cheerleading thing. So this has been a real stretch, but I love kind of spontaneous, like, you know, getting after it and that kind of thing. So I definitely fit right in and have fun with it, but it was not part of my little world. Yeah,
but that's so cool to even hear that. You're so brave, Krista, because like most people get that rejection and never dance again.
Right.
And because I worked at a conservatory with dancers and worked with people at a professional level of dance, almost like once you hit an age, you just don't dance anymore.
Yeah.
And what I love is that you're like, you do it because you love it, not because you're trying to be a professional or trying to, you know,
I love that you do it because you love it. Totally. Yes.
Wow. So I'm curious to know how that affects your day. Like having that time every week, like, do you find you feel replenished or how does this affect your life?
Yeah. Well, I definitely look forward to it. And then, like I said, when I leave and even all of the other, you know, gals in the class, like everyone just has like a big smile. And it's just like a deposit like into my day and into my heart. And like I did something fun and like I kind of cut loose a little bit, right? And that felt really, really good. So,
yeah. I think that part of the guidepost is like obviously cultivating laughter, song and dance, letting go of being cool and always in control. And I know for me, like, cause I am not necessarily a dance. Well, everyone can dance, but it's not like a strength of mine. And I've done dance classes and I think that's where my self-protection armor of like, don't look weird. don't look awkward. And how do you overcome that? I mean, it sounds like you have a strong why. Does that sort of bypass the fear of what you look like or, you know, that sort of thing? Like, because I know self-consciousness is a big reason why someone wouldn't go dance.
Yeah.
I think so.
But I think I've also just learned like how good it really feels, you know, like... Yeah. There's just such a good payoff, you know, and I think just maybe from years of feeling like a lot of feeling kind of tight in the bud, you know, and just realizing like, oh, like that was actually harder in some ways, you know, to stay small, to stay quiet, to want so badly to try and then just not do it. And then just have that like voice of regret or like, what if I would have tried? And so I think that like, kind of like trying on both, it was like, oh yeah. And like little by little, like, it's like, ooh, like that was fun, you know? I love that. And like, that was even contagious and it was permission giving for others to be like, okay, it doesn't have to be perfect. So all of that feels really, really good to me.
Yeah. I love that. That's such a beautiful point that you brought up of like that tightness and that feeling small. Yeah. Like it sounds like, did you have a moment where you're like, I'm done being scared. I'm going to be brave. Or was it a lot of different moments? What was that like for you?
Yeah, it was a lot of little moments and also like kind of talking when I was kind of talking about like, oh yeah, growing up and being like, oh, high stakes. Really in my parenting, like there was a season where I homeschooled for just a short season. And this friend of mine was like, hey, like climb the tree you want to climb. And I was like, really? And so some of this is like learning to sort of trust myself. And so there was this gathering that I really wanted to go to. It was a creative gathering. And I'd asked like seven different people, like, would you come with me? I don't want to go alone. And so finally, I was just like, shoot, I'm going. And so I show up to this creative gathering and I was kind of nervous and people were like, well, what kind of artist are you? And I just remember being like, well, I scrapbook, you know, but I was so hungry as this young mom who had been trying like so hard to just, if I do all the right things and find the right curriculum and feed the organic food and just like that, can you feel that intensity of like just wanting so badly? And so I just remember showing up to this gathering and I was pretty hungry for like freedom and like breakthrough and like, let's get it, you know? And I got it. It was just this really special thing where I saw like just the beauty of expression and worship and freedom and dance and song. Wow. And so, but yeah, I was really nervous and I raised my hand in the class and the teacher was like, go look at what over in the corner, like what that girl over there is doing. And it was just like, just sitting on the floor, like moving paint with my hands, you know? And I just started to cry. And I was like, oh, like I've been really holding my breath for most of my life. And like, this is like what I've been looking for. And my pal on the floor next to me, she's like, just let the tears, you know, fall into the canvas. And I was like, oh, I've tasted something. And wow. So then that was when I came home and I was like, okay, like creativity is really part of my birthright, my who I really am. And it was just like, yeah, going alone, raising my hand, swirling the paint. I got some breakthrough from that. So
wow,
yummy, right?
Yummy. That's a great word. I feel so like teary you saying that because that's liberation. That is freedom, and like it feels like your body even has gone from being tight to open and expansive and flowy.
Yeah. And sometimes we're just kind of like, or I'll speak for myself, but I felt like I was kind of wide-eyed looking around. Like, you know, a lot of times we're like, who is doing it? You know, like I know I want something. Like I know there's more. Like I want to like come, you know, and open up in this way. But it was like, yeah, when I saw like it modeled and I was like, this is beautiful. And I want some of that, you know, so.
Yeah. So because I watch you on social media, so it's so delicious just to hear all the context, the backstory, and like, oh, wow, this is so powerful. Because I feel like as an artist or a creative or starting to see yourself that way, like it feels like the space that you're in now, you show up and fully express yourself, like all of yourself with your beautiful family, and it looks easy and natural. But was there a journey of learning to build this into your life? Like was there resistance in this, like, you know, because you feel so expansive now, was there any resistance in the journey of becoming more free in this?
Maybe. As I kind of did, you know, think through before we joined, I kind of had another moment of thinking about, like, when I was home one day working with a gal that was helping me on some stuff, and I would just kind of break out in song, you know, be like, hey, I'm going to the other room or whatever. And just kind of like doing that. And she was just really like, what's going on? You know, it was very foreign to her. And I just thought, other people don't walk around their house just kind of busting out in song, just making up a little jingle about what they're doing. Yeah. She was just like, So there is probably a little unique, like that is part of like probably Kristen-ness, you know?
Yeah.
But she also explained to me, she's like, it really impacted me, you know, like it gave me a level of freedom just when you would kind of do that. She was like, it really kind of did something inside of her. And I think when I saw like, oh, like this is powerful, you know, like sometimes just being free and being who you are and just making up a little jingle, like it can actually be something rather than just cute. Like it can be pretty good, you know? So.
Yes. I love that you're bringing that up because I am actually the same as you, like with my family.
Okay.
There are certain songs from my childhood that my siblings and I kind of know, like my dad would be silly and sing an opera to us and like just be silly. And I feel like if you can do that, that's a level of safety inside yourself.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, yeah, I think that, yeah, because even just coming back to Australia with my family, like I'm like, oh, I don't do this around other people as much, but I am definitely more of like a let's break out in song and be like free and ridiculous. Like, yeah. But it's so true that it's really like freeing and a sign of safety and wholeness that you can just
totally. You know. And then, and also I have a sweet pal that we're kind of walking buddies and we've walked for years. And even when our kiddos were little, we would say like, hey, like the goal is really like if our kids, when they're older, want to come home for the holidays, like that's winning, you know? Yeah. And so my mother's heart has had such a tender place of like wanting to create safety and like wanting to kind of like, because joy to me really is connection, right?
Yes.
And so that's, I think, where I've also realized too, like play, and I love a deep connect. Like let's say it all and just go all in, you know. But like for my family, sometimes like playing Foursquare and playing catchphrase and like doing cold plunges and ringing the bell, like all of it just really creates. Like it's just very important. And so I've learned to not underestimate, you know, just the value of some of that kind of play. It's good for connection.
That's such a great point, because I feel like a lot of families, their deepest desire is to have their kids feel connected. And I think, you know, maybe the way that most people are going is try to have the deep conversations, but they can just go do something goofy. Uh-huh. So what advice would you give to people? Well, what have you found that like has really bonded you guys as a family and they're having that intentionality? Can you tell us a bit more about what that's looked like in your family?
Yeah. Well, kind of back to like, like Krista kind of growing up as an only child in California. So my husband and I, we have three adult kids, and so we've been like the Parody Five. And so now we've had expansion. So now we're a family of 10. And I just feel so much joy about that. So it's just like, oh, like we've doubled in size, you know, and so I feel like really grateful for it. And so when everyone does come home, like my little like planner self gets really excited.
Yeah.
So I've just learned like, what would feel like joy. And so, but creativity is part of it. Like we will do a little creating, whether that's like making gingerbread houses or painting wooden eggs or something, you know, a little something, something. And then we do something also called joy, nonverbal joy stories, which is really beautiful.
I've never heard of that. What is that?
Well, I invite them to, I say, go through your camera roll from the past year and like choose maybe two photos that really feel like joy to you and send them to me. And so, and that's a beautiful invitation. I think so often we think like, oh yeah, I know probably what was a highlight, but wow, like what was joy to you? And it can be a meal, like it can be anything, you know? So they send me the photos, I print them out like nice and big and beautiful. And so then we do a little go around. So it's a nonverbal joy story. So you'll tell your story and you give it a title, and then someone, not you, but someone else will act out your story nonverbally. So using no words, and you get that felt experience. And sometimes it's funny and sometimes it's teary, and it only takes a couple minutes, but it's been really powerful and really fun. And then we keep collecting the photos. So it's just one little nugget in my little basket that's been really sweet. And now we're getting the, you know, the language and the culture for it. And that's been fun.
Yeah. And so, well, I love that because I think, well, in family, we can have a lot of painful moments with each other. And I think that this is like a way of rewriting any pain narratives of like, oh, there's safety here, or we're having this joint connection in this. And you and I know a lot from doing a lot of work around the nervous system. So it sounds like you're taking the moments that were joyful and then leaning into it a little bit more.
Yeah.
With each other. Like,
yes. Yeah. And sharing it. Yeah. And then watching someone else like, Yeah, like, hey, you felt very like, oh, they got me, you know?
Yeah.
That's really bonding to feel like, oh, yeah, like they all got that. You know, I feel really seen in that.
Yeah. I love even just the testimony of your story of being a, you know, only child to now a family of 10. Like, that's a miraculous gift to even, I think that testimonies are a spirit of prophecy where we can just go, oh, I was by myself and now, like, there's, you know, there's connection and belonging and and more. It's so beautiful to hear that.
And then wanting to create that beautiful culture of joy and of beauty and of play, right?
Yeah. And so you have a couple of grandbabies, don't you?
Yes.
What have they taught you about joy?
Oh, that's a great question. I love that. Yeah. It's, you know, opportunities of like hide and seek. Oh, wow. I haven't done that in a long time. Hula hoop. So that, that's probably been like lots of adding to it. And it's just good to like, get back into play. And it's definitely helpful and beautiful.
And I feel like, me with my nieces and nephews, I can be the silliest and goofiest with them. Talk about letting go of being cool. They don't want my cool. They just want my goofy and my silly. Uh-huh. And they're the biggest fans of it.
Yeah.
I love that. That's so beautiful. So it sounds like, you've been really intentional about song and you've cultivated song and dance, which I feel has led to laughter, which because joy and laughter and like, how would you say that that is kind of medicine to the soul? Like that's a scripture that joy or laughter is medicine to the soul. Like how have you seen joy as healing?
That's good. I think what comes to my mind about that is probably a belief I used to have of like, oh, like if, you know, I talk about this enough, like, and there is a place for like verbal ventilation, right? Like, but I think I really used to feel like, oh, if I can talk about this enough or think about it enough or just try hard enough, like surely that's going to get me the result or the outcome. Like I'll just grip a little harder and think a little deeper and talk a little more. And the truth is like, that hasn't really been like what's brought me the most breakthrough. You know, like I talked about like sitting on the ground and like swirling pain, you know, like there were no words in that. There was just gentle, soft movement with someone right next to me, you know? And then the joy stories, like having someone just like act out your moment of joy with no words, you know? And then like cold plunging is something else we love to do, but like we get out of the cold plunge and then bunny hop down to the end and ring a bell. Like, you know, it's fun, but it's just really powerful too. It's like celebrating and it's doing hard things. And so I think it's just like been really kind of like topsy-turvy of thinking like I used to think that talking deeper, thinking more, trying harder, but it, in some ways it's been the opposite. It's been more being in my body. It's been more like trying something new, not being afraid to be sweaty or cry and just paint the whole canvas. All of that has been really powerful.
Something that you said, because I for sure have lived, especially in my 20s, everything was very high stakes. And I think I had probably a lot of condemnation of like, if this doesn't go right, then something bad will happen. Like it just felt very intense.
Yeah.
And because you're a mom, like, and do you have any, like, now that you're on the other side of living that kind of tight, high stakes way, like, would you have any words of comfort to someone who is in that place and is feeling like everything's high stakes? Maybe it's a young mom and they're raising kids and they're in the thick of it, or for someone going through a really hard season, like, what advice would you give to them?
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Let's see. I think it's helped me to overcome some high stakes thinking, like, even with birthday parties or things like that, it was like, this one birthday has to deliver the healing of my heart. And it's too much pressure. It's just too much. You know, or like, this one podcast has to be like the, you get all that buildup and all of that pressure of performance and perfection. Yes. And then like, I ruined it, you know, but just by having such intense expectation, you know? Yeah. So I think it's been helpful just having the language of like, oh, like you're going to be able to try this again. Like we can, you know what I mean? But just kind of being gentle with yourself and like, hey, if this is like, there's going to be other opportunities. And if that color didn't work, like we can paint over that, you know?
Yeah.
If as a family, you were vulnerable to be like, hey guys, can we try this? And it flops, like, you know what? Hey, we tried and we can try something else. But I just think a little more language of like, A, feeling proud of yourself for even trying. Like, joy is a vulnerable emotion. Like, a lot of this that we're talking about, it is risky. It does feel exposing, you know? So just being proud of yourself for even being brave to ask, like, could we try this, guys? Yeah. Like, that's succeeding already. Like, that's hero stuff, right? Like, just being willing to even try. And then when I do just say like, you know, I just let go of the outcome and I can have a little bit looser, softer grip. Like sometimes that's when the yummy, like Holy Spirit glitter magic can just be there. Right. Cause we were like, oh, I didn't even see it could be that good. You know?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Do you have any Holy Spirit glitter magic stories? I remember you sharing that in one of our sessions and I'm like, ooh, that's good.
Oh, I love that. I guess maybe one I could think of is, well, let's see. Oh, I mean, pressure, it's got to be the best, whatever. But when my daughter was young, she had some friends over and I have these really beautiful like prayer oils and I had them just in a little bowl and I was in a hurry. And one of the friends was like, oh, what are these? And I was like, oh, they're little prayer oils. And then she was like, I want to try that, you know? And so it was so sweet. And all the little girls were like, me too. And it just gave me that like experience of like, now girls sit down and I'm going to really educate you on, you know, whatever
incense oil.
Yes. But it was just kind of like, oh, it was just in the slowing down of it. And, but sometimes like, I think we have to just be a little open to be like, oh yeah, like I didn't even plan on that, but it turned into being just like a sweet little beautiful moment that I remember with those girls, you know?
I love the combination. I love that you've brought this up because even as people are listening, they could be taking notes of like, okay, Krista gave this great idea of two photos from the camera reel. I'm going to do that this Christmas. And it's going to be like, we can be like, we've been really disconnected. And so this is going to heal all the disconnection in our family and make it really high stakes. And it's like, I love that you have brought up of like, you get to try again. Like that's, you know, not putting all the pressure on like these little exercises being.
Yeah. Totally.
Cure everything.
Yeah. In my family, I have to give them a shout out for just being like willing. Like it really is a huge blessing. And like they are great participants. And but even like I'll be like, hey, I'll have a little idea. But even in the hot tub, like, hey, okay, let's all kind of swim around and do our little thing here, you know. And it is spontaneous, you know, and so. But just, I guess what I'm trying to say is like, there, like Krista before would really want to try to set all of that up just right. And we have to film it 17 times. And can you put your head a little like this? Like, that's not really fun for anybody, right?
Yeah.
And so, but just kind of like a little bit of, again, just kind of going with it and just learning to trust yourself, you know?
Yeah. Wow. That's so beautiful.
Aww.
So, I mean, like, this has just been such a life-giving episode. Like, even in this conversation, I just feel so, this is like, healing doesn't have to be intense is what I think I'm taking away from this conversation. Like, it gets to be, healing is play and joy and all of those things. And you mentioned self-trust and sort of in wrapping up, like, what has that journey looked like a little bit for you? What does self-trust mean to you?
Yeah. Oh, I think it means like, say I'll get an idea and I used to really feel like I got to run this by like four people to see if it really is. Like, let me make sure and then make sure and then make sure one more time. Because I don't really know if I can trust that it could be good, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel emotion even just kind of, because it's still there a little bit. Like, is this the right thing? Is this, am I going to be okay? Like, what do you think? And then really looking at their face to get the yes or the no, you know?
So relatable.
And so, I mean, reasoning things out with other people, like, there's a total place for that. And it's a good thing, you know? But I think just the, trusting myself, again, like, that's been a process of, like, growing in confidence, and it has also been, you know, little by little. But even, you know, my husband asking me, like this year I turned 54, and I was like, hey, what do you want to do for your birthday? And like, I used to a lot of times say, like, I don't know. But I really do know, right?
Oh, that's good.
The kind of like, what do I want to do? And like speaking up that like, I trust it's a good idea, you know? And like, and so, like we had a little bit of we had a Foursquare party, played some catchphrase. And then I did a little painting like for all my little friends, you know, like little friends sounds like it was like a party favor, huh?
Yeah.
But just kind of like, this is in my heart to do, you know? And do it, you know, there's going to be another birthday. So again, like lowering the stakes, but just trusting like, I think I can trust that this is a good idea, you know?
Yeah.
And if not, I'm still so loved and so good and it's okay, you know?
Okay.
It's okay.
Yeah. And that's the thing about self-trust. It's such an experiment. Like, like such a, we'll see. Like, you know, and then you're like, oh, that was right. I can trust myself, you know.
Yes, and growing that muscle and that capacity. Yes. Totally.
And I don't think we fully ever outgrow, you know, learning that self-trust muscle, I think, you know. Yeah. So that's really beautiful. So in sort of like wrapping up, I love seeing you post about your art and scrapbooking, and even in our sessions you would send me like such beautiful what did you call them? They're kind of like just even statements, and I find myself like, because one of your ones was can't call it yet. I remember like it was such, because I was in such a I don't know how it's going to pan out, and that you sent me this was it a bookmark?
Yes.
Can't call it yet. And I'm like, this is so, all these words on that you're creating is so like, ooh, like juicy. So you're running workshops and things like that. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing with creativity and what you're leading people through.
I think one thing that's unique to me, or something that's been healing for me, is like the power of a small group. And so I like, even this table that I'm sitting at right now, it's this big chunky wood table and there's like paint all over it. And so I just love gathering people around this table. There's like so much permission on this table. Like, you can paint outside of the lines. Like, you can get paint on this table. You're not going to get in trouble. But anyway, it's just gathering people. Right now I'm doing a little group. It's like a 6-month commitment. and we just go through like the make creating journals, like, and even just the act of like prepping these pages in the journal and just putting color down, it's so good. And just to let people fill in, like, it doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to cover the whole page. So yeah, doing a lot of table time with that and some workshops coming up. But yeah, just continuing to invite women into, yeah, a little more breakthrough, some bravery, raising that hand, getting people wipe your hands on the table, on your jeans. But like, I just love seeing like, come on in, you know, the water is fine.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's so beautiful. So my closing question would be like, any words of advice or compassion to someone who's going through maybe a season they have no joy or no play, and like, what would you say to someone who's like, yeah, just had a heavy season with like, maybe it's with family or finances, or they're just, you know, had going through something hard, like, yeah, any sort of words of motherly comfort that
I think the phrase that comes to me is probably like little by little, you know, even like how we've talked about the 1-5%, you know, it's like, we don't have to look for this wild, huge, spontaneous expression of joy. It's like little things like, you know, a hug and just like someone kind of really attuning with you. And like I said, just prepping a few pages in a journal. So I would just say like little by little, you know, like even the 1% matters, and then just kind of building that. And then I think my other kind of little thing that is coming to me also is like letting it begin with you. Like I think for a lot of my life too, I looked around like who's going to be the joy starter for me? Like someone help me and get in here and like, you know, can't they read my mind? And so a little bit of like becoming more powerful too, you know, even just a little bit more, but like, this is what sounds fun for a party or a holiday or even just for today. Like, yeah. Letting it just sort of begin like within my own self, and just how can I cultivate even a little bit more just today?
Yeah. Wow. Such great advice. I can just imagine that as people are listening to this episode, and maybe you relate to that high stakes feeling, and you're looking for that moment that Krista had with the paint in your fingers and the paint, and just that swirling of the paint, and you're looking for that breakthrough. And some of you have been looking for breakthrough maybe in therapy or in different places, but maybe someone's breakthrough is in creativity. But I'm sure, I think sometimes like when we hear a testimony, there's almost like, I feel like God's divine coordinators go out to coordinate
a
similar experience. And so that's my hope and prayer for anyone listening today, that as you've heard Krista's story, that you would have the same kind of level of freedom. And yeah, that's beautiful. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. I'll be linking your Instagram because I think that we need to, there's so much noise on social media, but everything that you post, I'm like, oh, freedom, light. So if you want to follow someone that cultivates joy, Krista's your girl. Yeah, so thank you so much, Krista. This has been so life-giving.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening today. Please download, share with your friends, and write a review. If you would like to book in a life coaching session with me, go to my website at www.ella-hooper.com or follow me on Instagram at Next Brave Thing Podcast.